Hey, Truth Group friends. Thanks for joining me, Andy, at Women Speaking Truth. Today, we're going to talk about the Bible. Big surprise, right? But where we're going today is this idea of like our relationship really with the Bible. Because I don't know about your story, but as a good Mexican Catholic girl, the Bible was not a homey place for me at all. The Bible was this big, heavy, old, dusty book that sat on literally a coffee table in our dining room. And if you open the pages, it would crack off the spine of this thick, huge, old book. So literally there was a rule in our house, don't open the old Bible on the coffee table, like really, which was fine for everybody in the house because we would never open that thing anyway. So my big question for us today is how do we grow to love scripture? Like no matter what our background, no matter what experience we have with it, no matter how many times we've started trying to love the Bible or not, or if there's this natural thing in us. But before we get cracking, I want to catch you up to speed on how this podcast goes, because it's a little important. In this podcast, just keep in mind, I'm not talking directly to you. Instead, I'm talking to my 23-year-old self, because 20 years later, at 43, I've learned a thing or two that's worth remembering and saying out loud, kind of to my 23-year-old self, because it reteaches me the lesson, and maybe it'll be helpful for you guys, my friends. So there are three rules that I abide by, or at least try to, in this podcast. Rule number one is all 43-year-old Andy does is share lessons learned about knowing God, about how to do this life, about living in the flesh that God's given me, but doing so with this idea of joining Him in the Spirit. Rule number two, seriously, I know it's confusing, not to mention super duper annoying for me to refer to my 23-year-old self as, hey, 23-year-old Andy. Instead, I call her you. So just remember that, because I'm not talking to you. At times, I'm talking to her, you. Rule number three, not everything I'm going to say can or even should be generalized to you guys, because remember, I'm talking to my 23-year-old self. So you'll see what I mean. We're going to figure it out together. Back to the Bible. So here's why we must cross this bridge. Because God has 100% called you to love and lead others. But without a true, authentic reliance on God through His book, you're going to so often depend on your own know-how and your wisdom, which would then totally squash the Spirit and the fruit that He wants to birth and bear through you. So, you know, theoretically, this requires the Bible. Is living on mission requires the Bible, but there's this deep thing in you that doesn't resonate with the Bible. Maybe it's because of your history and because of that old coffee table Bible that you were told you're not allowed to open it. But here's the truth. You, my dear, have done such a good job working hard to stay in the Bible and trying to learn it and be it and trying to be faithful to keep it open. Because you and I both know down deep that when it comes to the Bible, those early experiences of scripture, like the one on your coffee table, run deep. Like, why open it? It's in the other room apart from my everyday life. Why would I open it? And then the guilt comes in. I know I should love it, but I don't. And God has certainly used it in your life, but that hasn't translated into a love for scripture, which leads you feeling even more guilty and more wanting of something. So here's what you do to try to compensate, to build this love of scripture. It's like you press the pedal to the metal, trying harder and harder to love scripture, which just means doing it and then feel guilty about it. So how do we change that into seriously a love for God through His word? So when it comes to loving it, you've tried and tried for years. You go genuinely to the Bible, but you know how exhausting it is to pretend that you love something when you actually don't. And you're not trying to fake it. You're not trying to put on a show, because you genuinely want to love the Bible and find your home there. But there's this gap between you and your genuine love for the Bible. And then one day, your relationship with the Bible changed. And that's what I want to tell you, is this story that happened. So picture me, I don't know how many years ago, let's say 10 years ago, and you were full-time in ministry and it was kind of killing you. And I think one of the reasons it was kind of killing you is because of this thing of wanting to love the Bible and instead using the Bible and kind of confusing those things. Isn't it crazy how we use the Bible? So that's where you were at, is using the Bible. And we'll talk about what that means in just a moment. So Melissa, your ministry partner, some of you guys, I think all of you guys know Melissa Dunn. She's my ministry partner. We've been doing ministry together for like 10 years. So it was a winter morning. I actually remember explicitly. It was a January winter morning here in Central Virginia. Melissa comes knocking on the door and you guys do your typical meeting. Typical meeting means opening the Bible, talking about what we're going to be teaching in this ministry we're leading together, and really earnestly coming to God, like, God, we need your help. Somewhere in that conversation, I began to share about feeling insecure. At that time, my husband Andy was in his doctoral program at UVA, and it was tough on us, like really tough, meaning I had three babies. At this time, they would have been ages almost one, almost two, and almost three. No joke. Life was tough, and he was gone often doing this program. Well, there were literally three people in his class that entered in the same year as him. So it was my Andy, like his name is Andy, FYI. Then this gorgeous girl, she was like 28 or something, and just blonde, beautiful. And then another gorgeous blonde girl who was like 26 or 28 also. And these two girls were super hot. They would go partying. They had boyfriends here and there. And then there's my little Andy. So what popped out of my mouth without me even intending to on that day that Melissa and I were meeting is my insecurity that Andy's going to run off and have this wonderful dynamic affair with one or both of these girls. I didn't know which one. And this came out in our conversations. And Melissa's like, wait, so where are you with this? And I was like, he's gonna. Like, those girls are probably flirting with him. And they kind of were. And one day he's going to give into temptation and I'm going to be stuck with these three kids. And Melissa was like, wow, so where is God in all of that? And I answered this question, desiring to be as honest as possible and be like, he's not good. If the worst should happen to me, and that in my mind at that time was categorically the worst that could happen, then like forget God, because he's just left me high and dry with problems that I can't do anything about. And he could have done something. By the way, nothing happened at all. But God could have done something, but he chose not to. So Melissa's like, babe, Andy, there's this big gap between where you stand with God and your trust in him and where reality is. And in the middle, it's like this big narrative that God is not good and he won't be there for you. And for me, you know, when there's this conglomeration of somebody that you trust speaking hard things to you, your own heart revealed in ways that you're like, ooh, I didn't even know that was down there, as well as the Holy Spirit over all of it, kind of guiding and directing your heart. And for me, that guiding and directing came out hands down in the form of this heavy sense that God was going to be doing some new work in my heart. By the way, that did not feel good. It wasn't like filled with hope. It was kind of filled with trepidation. Like, major conviction is the same feeling over my life and heart. But here's where the goodness of God comes in, is that when that stuff in me gets exposed and when the Holy Spirit meets me, it feels so terrible, because this is the grace of God. Here's why. If that didn't feel remarkably horrible, like I could have this visceral feeling like something is wrong, something is very wrong. And here's why it's the grace of God. Because in that moment, It felt so wrong that something in my heart got uncovered. I was desperate to do whatever it took to remove this feeling of the Holy Spirit over me. In other words, if I felt great about it, I would have never done what God was wanting to do. If I felt fine, then I would have dropped it and moved on. And instead, I had this feeling like conviction, like God wanted and needed to do something in me. And I joined him in it because I was so desperate to not necessarily have my heart renewed by God, but instead to relieve this feeling that was over me. So I asked Melissa, and I remember like, okay, Melissa, so this thing in my heart about not really believing and trusting God with my life has now been very much exposed. What do I do? Her answer, you know, she's like heady, which I love that, and we love and appreciate that about her. But when it comes to something theoretical hitting the ground, like in real life, like what do we do? She's like, I don't know. She literally starts packing up her stuff, her keys, her bag, her laptop, her Bible. And she's like, I'll be praying for you. And she did pray for me in that moment. And she's like, I'll be praying for you. So she walks out the door, heads to her car, leaves my driveway, and I'm sitting there with this heavy feeling like whatever is broken in my soul, I need God to fix it. So I sat on that couch alone for some time going, God, I can't fix myself. Like I'm at a loss. I've got no moves to make. God, what on earth do I do? And there was really like no clear or even subtle answer to that prayer. So I did what I knew to do, and I walked to my computer and I literally Googled Bible verses on trusting God search. And this is actually, if you're a truth grouper, I seriously believe this was the origins of this truth group process. If you're not a truth grouper, man, oh man, I would invite you to truthgroups.com. Check out this crazy way. When I say crazy, what I really mean is ultra simple. But what's crazy about it is the level of transformation and power it has on women in this community. Changed my life. I really think this is the origins. Typed in Bible verses on trusting God search, then waited and just scrolled through, actually chose a site where it was just Bible verses, no commentaries, no devotionals, no extra voices, just the Word of God. Then I began to read through and just be like, God, I don't know where to start. I feel like you're not really leading or speaking to me in a way that you have always before in the past. Will you use your word to do something new in me? And I literally just copied and pasted verses that felt like they resonated on any level and pasted them into a Word document. Then I did something I've never, ever, ever in my life done before this day. I printed out that document that was just various Bible verses, and then I cut them so that it was just one verse on a piece of paper. And I decided, God, I don't know what you're going to do, but what seems like the most that I can do is tape these, probably, I think there were 14 Bible verses. I made several copies and I taped them to the wall in the hallway. I taped them over the sink, over my kitchen. I taped them in the bathroom. I taped them where my dresser was. Whatever the most common areas in my house were that I hung out, this is where a Bible verse got taped to the wall. Then I made a commitment, which for me, shockingly, I actually kept. The commitment was every single time, literally every single time I passed one of those pieces of paper, I was going to pray and read and ask God to do whatever that verse said. Every single time. So when I did that, I would be walking up the stairs and there would be, I remember so specifically, three Bible verses in the hallway of those stairs. And I would stop, read that verse. And really what was obvious to me in these days was the gap that 100% existed between where I was and my trust in God. Like, there wasn't any. This was so shocking to me. And it felt like, God, then teach me to trust you because I don't know how. And looking at scripture for the first time, that was this obvious of like, this is my only direction that I have to hear God and to experience God in order to fix this gaping hole in my soul. And I did these Bible verses all the time. And I remember putting my arm against the wall over the Bible verse that was like right here in my arm, like resting my forearm against the wall and my forehead against my arm and just weeping like, God, I don't trust you. And God, I want to learn to trust you with everything that I have. And I don't. So God, will you teach me to trust you? And time after time after time, passing by those verses. And I remember it wasn't that long. It was like 10 days later or 2 weeks later, looking at these verses again and again and again. But this time it was like, God, I don't know what you've done, but I'm beginning to trust you. Like, really desiring to put all my hope in you. Desiring to see you in everything I do. Realizing that even if the worst should happen, like this whole made-up narrative with Andy and these chicks at UVA, which, by the way, nothing ever happened. I shared the story with him in this whole time, and he was like, what? What are you talking about? Like, nothing. And those two chicks were actually super wonderful. But isn't it crazy the narrative that we could have? So when it comes to scripture, here's a couple of things that I would love to pass on to you early in your 20s that I didn't learn till early in my 30s. Falling in love with scripture begins with slowing your roll. Like, slow down when it comes to the Bible. Because for some reason, it's interesting. You think that the more you read, the more you'll finally love the Bible. And maybe that's true for others, but seriously, the opposite is true for you. Think about it like this. Okay, just think about it like this. People don't fall in love with one another while speed dating, right? Like, quick, set the timer, talk as fast as you can for 2 minutes, share what you need to do, then boom, alarm goes off, ding, and you're off to the next little thing. That's not how you fall in love. And the same is true with when it comes to the Bible. Falling in love is slow. Slow conversations, slow walks, slow conversations about old memories, being vulnerable and sharing and vulnerable and listening. That's how you fall in love, right? And this is not different when it comes to the Bible. It's weird because we think the more fast, like, shove it in way is going to work to help us love the Bible more. It doesn't. Instead, slow down when it comes to scripture. Let God slowly tell you his story. And slowly over scripture, tell God your story. Read a few verses over and over and over and then listen. This is a slow process. Vulnerably listen, and then vulnerably share. Tell him your story from start to finish as if he knows nothing about it at all, because it's not about the fact that he doesn't know it. Instead, it's the fact that you're slowly, vulnerably explaining things to him in this way that creates intimacy. Slow, vulnerable stories create intimacy over time. That is how to fall in love with the God of the Bible and with his word. So one more thing I would say is learn to need scripture. I'm not sure why this is true for you, my dear, but when you approach scripture, I think you felt like God expected you to have answers already and to just maybe fact check those answers or like be like, right. Yep, I'm already doing that. Why? I think that because of the lack of vulnerability, you approach scripture like you were supposed to have things good and supposed to have this understood and to be like, okay, good, find the things I'm already doing and feel confident about that. And that's going to help me love scripture. And actually, the opposite is true. Instead, approaching scripture like, I need to find you, God, in these pages. I need you because I'm not good. I need you because I need a savior. And these words are the best way through the Holy Spirit to find you. Everything changed when I came needing to find a solution for my brokenness. And so approaching God with your brokenness is how you learn to need the word of God. And just so you know, man, even though I love scripture and find myself often like petting the pages of scripture because God has given me a deep affection for his word that I feel confident and comfortable using the word love when it comes to my relationship with the word of God. But just because I love something does not mean that I'm going to set my life correctly with this thing. Meaning, let's take my husband example again. There's no question that I love him. He's like, you love me like crazy, woman. And I'm like, heck yeah, I do. That doesn't mean I honor him and do all that I know I ought to do. Love and responsibility don't add up on the same plane. So here's where I am today. These days, my mind keeps running back and forth over this idea that the word of God is to be our manna. And I've got more questions than I do answers for this. What does it mean to live on every word that God says, like to live on it, to eat it, to digest it, to live on it, where I get how to understand to live on bread? I'm asking God, will you teach me to live off the word of God even more so than I do bread and food? I don't know the answers for this in real life, although I can make up the right answers. But when I make up the right answers, I eliminate my own need for God because someone else's right answers don't lead to my transformation. And so needing the God of Scripture, needing to find a fix for my brokenness through these pages, slowly is what has led to loving the Bible, not just the God of the Bible. So for right now, I would love it if you just took a deep breath and for this moment, enjoy the God who is gaga, head over heels for you.